checking in with Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. Dr. Brown, thanks for being here. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So it sounds like the United States as a whole has some backlog issues when it comes to testing delays. First of all, are we seeing that in Connecticut, or we're still doing okay?
We are seeing that. I could tell you that it depends where and which laboratory people are sending the testing. But yes, we've definitely seen a delay. I know patients have been concerned about, you know, some delays as long as 5 to 6 days.
Oh, wow.
Where they get results back. So, yeah, it's really important for places like Griffin Hospital to select the laboratories that get the quickest returns, because obviously we don't want our patients, especially if they're symptomatic, to be not aware that they have COVID-19.
Why is there such a backlog? Is it because we're seeing such an uptick in testing now across the country, or are labs just that bogged down?
I believe that's so. I believe, you know, some of the large national laboratory companies, thinking that they centralize a lot of their testing, there's only a certain amount of reagents, so product that they need to actually do the testing. Because there's potential limitations to that, and there's such an overwhelming amount of testing that needs to be done in some of the in the southern states, that it actually causes delays up in New England in our area.
Interesting. Now, I would imagine with something like a backlog, especially in the midst of a pandemic, is there or are there any new diagnostic tests on the horizon to alleviate the problem?
There are, but there's some concerns about them. So right now, the gold standard, the standard that we're all using, is a test called PCR. What it does is it actually looks for the genome associated with the virus. And when that is positive, it is indeed positive. So you need to be really careful about that, because sometimes tests can actually get what's called false negatives. So if it's negative, it may not be negative. So that means you may have symptoms, your test may come back as negative, and you actually have it.
Wow. So
several of the tests, besides this PCR test, several of those tests have a very high, what we call, false negative rate. So what happens is that, as I said, your patients could potentially be asymptomatic, and then they go in for a test with one of these sort of, inferior tests, not aware that the fact that the test may come back negative, they feel, oh, well, this is great, I'm relieved, I can go out and do what I need to do, and maybe even be a little lax with their mask, which we don't approve, right?
Right.
so they may be a little bit more lax, and in fact, they actually have the virus.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Not a good sign for sure. Talking to Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, and you know, as we talk about the mask, actually, interestingly enough, this past weekend I had family up to celebrate my son's birthday, and a family friend of ours, you know, was saying it's crazy to think that we're going to be wearing masks till who knows when, sort of like this question mark. And I said, yeah, but you know, at least it works. And she had brought up something that, of course, I put a little note and thought to myself, I'll ask Dr. Brown about it. She said, you know, are masks even as, so we know that they work, but are they even healthy for yourself, or can they make you sick? Because essentially, if people don't know, like, look, I think what's funny is with the pandemic, people learn that they need to wash their hands every day, which is hilarious because I thought we should have been doing that since we were kids.
Exactly.
But a lot of people don't. So if hygiene is a problem, which it is, are people even cleaning their masks, taking care of their masks properly? They could probably get themselves sick, no?
You know, it's interesting, and I guess the jury's still out on that. We're not really going to know. I can imagine after the pandemic, I think there's going to be a long-term effect of prolonged use of masks. I mean, this is unprecedented, the amount of time that we all spend wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
And is that going to be, there's, you know, a backlog, increased CO2? You know, is there a concern for that? I think for older adults, it would be minimal. I would be shocked if that is a major issue, just because we have such a lung capacity. For children, I do have a little bit more concerns, especially with cloth masks that are wet. We know that they're not necessarily going to be able to push that much air out. So it will definitely be interesting. As for the spread for dirty masks, it's gross, but ultimately, it's not, you know, ultimately, I don't see that there's going to be sort of reinfection from the mask itself. Remember, the majority of the reason why we wear a mask is really, if we have it, we don't spread it to others.
Right,
so,
right. But if you're like sneezing into the mask and coughing and all that, I mean, it's gross, like you said. But essentially, you already have whatever you have. So if you have a cold, you just kind of keeping it in your system is not going to make you sick.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I was going with, but I thought, let me just double back before I get all
confident.
Yes,
you won't auto. We call that auto infect, where you're actually giving it back or reinfect. Mm-hmm. Reinfect is sort of when you get it again. Auto infect is when you infect yourself.
Okay.
So yes, there's no indication that you would auto-infect yourself.
Okay. Whew. All right, great. Yeah. I mean, not that I don't. I clean my masks actually a little too much. I think I drive my husband crazy because I'm like, hand over the mask. We got to wash them again.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you never know. Some people are not the same way. Now, the big story in our news this morning was out of Pfizer, the fact that the Trump administration is turning around 100 million doses, or they're giving money for them to make 100 million doses of the new COVID vaccine. From your professional standpoint, Dr. Brown, you know, we keep hearing that December, that's when it'll be ready. But when ideally can people actually start getting the vaccine?
You know, I think December is a reasonable time to think.
Okay.
I mean, this has been going on, you know, we've known about this since, we've known about this since December, you know, and then January it became a little bit more, it became widespread worldwide. So we've been working on, you know, identifying the genome and then developing the proteins associated with a vaccine. So that being said, you know, having a vaccine out, I think it's a matter now of you know, taking the current vaccines. So there's several vaccines that have actually been identified, taking the current vaccine and then being able to bring it through human trials quickly to make sure that it's safe. And then once it's deemed to be safe, then it's going to be, you know, it will be widespread. And that's going to be a production issue. You know, how quickly can we produce it and then get it out there?
Yeah, that's so true. So I guess kind of time will tell. So we'll see what
ends
up happening.
Absolutely.
Dr. Brown, thank you so much for coming on this morning. I'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa.